1 John chapter 2. The focus of our study this evening. 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. We're going to talk about abiding. I would like to say that I appreciate the staff members and Brother Greg and Brother Wade is preaching through this book tonight. It's not the end of the series, but we're going to take a break from the series just due to the things that are ahead. Next Sunday night is the Lord's Supper. Then the next Sunday night is the budget business meeting. Then the next Sunday night is children's program. Then the following Sunday is Christmas Day. Isn't it great? Christmas is almost here. Isn't it wonderful? It is. But this evening, we're going to talk about abiding in Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank You again for Your wonderful Word. I pray, Lord, that You will speak to us, Lord, through Your Word tonight. That, Lord, You can take Your Word and You can cater it to the needs of everyone present and listening. So, Lord, I pray You do that very thing tonight. I pray that that You will speak to us. And I pray that we'll be receptive. And that we'll put into practice the things that we glean from You tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right, if you'll notice there's a repetitive word in the text and in this whole area, as a matter of fact. And that word, of course, is to abide. And when we say that one is to abide, the idea is to dwell, right? It's like you go home and this is home. It means you're comfortable. It means this is where you're going to stay. So as we apply it today, the idea is to remain where you are or to continue in fellowship. Verse 24 says, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. First question we've got to talk about if we're going to abide is, what is He talking about? And that is what you received in the beginning. The truth that you received in the beginning. I want to take you back to the day, all right? I want you to go back to the day when it all began for you, spiritually speaking. The day that you were saved. My question is, are you saved? Three are. Bless your heart. I want you to go back to that day when you were saved. I want you to go back to what happened, what you did, and why you think today that you're saved. Me personally, I can go back to that day, and I've shared with you before, and I'll share with you briefly tonight. It was a revival service at Wide Oak Missionary Baptist Church in Griffithville, Arkansas, where I got down on my knees, and I cried out to Jesus. I was 8 years old. But I still know that's when it happened. And so tonight I want you to go back. And the reason I want you to go back, because it was at that time that you knew a truth. And that truth was that Jesus Christ was the Son of God who gave His life for your sins. And because of that truth, you called out, knowing He was the Son of God who rose from the grave and was seated at the right hand of God and is seated at the right hand of God. You called out to Jesus Christ and asked Him to save you. Right? Is that pretty much how it happened? Because if it happened some other way, I'm going to call you into question. It had to involve the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right? And that's the idea that John is writing about here. When he says, abide, that which you have heard from the beginning, that spiritual truth of salvation being only in Jesus Christ. And we want to answer that. That is a very simple truth tonight. But as simple as that truth is, I deal with this a lot in believers, that the question arises, am I really saved? Not am I really saved, but people come to me with that question, am I really saved? Did I really do it right? Is a question that I've heard, you know. And it's been, people will say, it's been so long ago that you know, I'm just not sure I did everything right. Well, listen, if that question is in your mind, let me lay that question to rest. Are you listening? No, you did not do everything right. Okay? It's not about what you did. Can you go back to the time when you called out to Jesus Christ and you asked Him to save you, knowing that He was the Son of God who died for your sins? If you can go back to that time where you cried out to Jesus, then beloved, the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm so very thankful that it doesn't say maybe, that it doesn't say possibly, that it says whosoever calls shall be saved. And the wonderful and glorious thing about that fact is I don't have to doubt. I don't have to wonder, well, what did I say in that prayer exactly? Or did I do the right? No, it wasn't about me. It was about Jesus Christ and what He did on my behalf. And the reason that John wants us to get that, and the reason that I want us to get that tonight, is because doubt is so very devastating in the life of the believer. If you don't get that fact straight, that fact of salvation, that you know that you belong to Jesus, then there won't be anything else after that. You see, that's the foundational, the cornerstone of your faith. And I'm sure that believers in that day had the same problem that we have today. Periods of doubts and questions. And one of the reasons that he wrote this, okay, was there was a concern that there were a lot of other teachings out there, specifically Jewish teachings that tried to mix works and grace. And that's why he said in verse 26, he spoke of these things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. I want you to stay in what you've received from the very beginning, because there are those who would try to deceive you and try to convince you otherwise. Still true today. One thing that I think is probably a problem is denominations in the world today. You said, Brother Doug, aren't you Baptist? Yes, I am Baptist. Right? I'm not Baptist. I don't wear that as some sort of super banner. I'm Baptist because I believe that we preach the truth. Okay? Most of all, I don't care if you call me a Baptist or not. I want you to know I'm a child of God. Blood bought, the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm saved, not because I'm a member of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. I'm saved because I've called upon Jesus Christ as my Savior. And there's a lot of denominational differences that teach differently. Just very honestly, right? There are those who say that you cannot be saved if you don't meet certain requirements. Throw that out. Okay? Don't bite. Remember in the beginning, I said the question, did you do it right? You didn't do it right. Jesus did it right. Right? And so, it's not about you. Ephesians, and you need to have these scriptures at the ready. Okay? Write them down if they're not in the front of your mind. But when somebody approaches you with a works-based salvation, you throw out to them Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved. I love the way that's worded. For by grace you have been saved. It's a statement of fact, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. If somebody says, I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person, you no. If somebody says, I'm going to heaven because I'm a Baptist, Methodist, no. Whatever reason that they come up with is, I'm earning my way to heaven. You're not going to heaven. It is a gift of God, saved by grace through faith. But there are denominations, right? Who will teach otherwise? There are denominations that will say, baptism saves you. You can't go to heaven if you're not baptized. One scripture you need to know, that you already know. But what are you going to put out there? You know, when you're met with this, what are you going to put out there? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, what? Believeth. Whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's your salvation. It's not works. It's not baptism. There are those that will say, you can't really be sure that you're saved. If you're not sure, you better get sure. It's too important not to, right? But there are people say, well, you won't know till you get to heaven. Listen, if you don't know before you leave this world, chances are the world that's waiting for you is not heaven. John said, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that... And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Right? These are scriptures that every child of God needs to have scribbled in his Bible. Right? Because there will be those who will come to you and say, oh, I don't believe you. I don't believe that you can be saved if you're not baptized. And they're going to say, you know what they're going to say to you? They're going to say, prove it. There are even those who say you can lose your salvation. Bless their heart. How do you know if you got it? Adrian Rogers once made a comment that just stayed with me. He said, Adrian Rogers said that he would not trust the best 5 minutes of his life to get him into heaven. I would have to agree with the man. I do not trust the best 5 minutes of my life to get me into heaven, nor to keep the salvation that was a gift from God. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never... I cannot stress enough these words. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. You need these basic foundational doctrinal teachings at the ready. Because I promise you, when you go out there, you're going to be faced with answering questions. Questions that others will have. Why do you think you're saved? Why do you think that you can keep your salvation? You better know what you believe and why you believe it. And to say that, you don't have to be a scholar. You do not have to be a Bible scholar that can just go through the whole Bible. And, you know, there are times that I brush up on particular doctrines. But there are some basic doctrines that I have that are embedded in me, that are highlighted in my Bible, and I would suggest that you do the same. Highlight. Make sure you have a foundation for what you say you believe. reading about an evangelist named George Whitefield, an English evangelist. And he asked a man, what do you believe? And the man said, I believe what my church believes. So Whitefield asked the man, okay, what does your church believe? The man said, my church believes what I believe. So Whitefield thought he figured it out. And he asked the question, he said, okay, what do you and your church believe? The man said, the same thing. I think that's the way a lot of Christians are today. You know, we use the my preacher said or my church believes. You better have some of this stuff up front so that you can address those that would deceive you. If you'll notice there in verse 26, John says, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. It's out there. It's been out there from the very beginning. The Jews tried to mix in works with salvation or the law into salvation. It wouldn't work in John's day. And works for salvation still doesn't work. Verse 27, here's the encouraging part. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. And you do not need anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. You have an anointing. This is one of those Christian words or religious words we want to avoid, right? We don't want them to think, or the world to think we're some religious fanatic. It's okay to be a religious fanatic. Amen? Well, let me rephrase it. It's okay to be a God fanatic, right? That word anoint was used in the Old Testament. To describe and what it was the practice of pouring oil on a person to set them apart to a specific ministry or a special service. For example, in the Old Testament, priests were anointed. Kings were anointed. Prophets were anointed. They were at a ceremony type setting where they would anoint them with oil and set them aside to that particular office that they had been called. Now, in the New Testament, it's a little different. But John still says, we have an anointing. So we've got to ask the question, what is this anointing that John's speaking of? That anointing that John is speaking of is the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. If you are saved, you have received the anointing of God. What I'm talking about is the Holy Spirit has moved into you. Okay? There is not some special baptism that occurs somewhere along the way after you're saved. No, when you're saved, you get the Holy Spirit, all the Holy Spirit you're going to have. Now, there are times when we are filled with the Spirit, right? But if you are a believer, you have anointed or been anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God. You're not your own. I think we're afraid today to appear to be too religious and use words like anointing or Holy Spirit. But we as believers, you as a true believer in Christ, you have been given the Holy Spirit. Why? Well, one of the reasons John brings out here is that the Holy Spirit of God will teach you. John 14:26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus is speaking here. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. When you were indwelled by the Holy Spirit, you were given something very special in that the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, you have an avenue to God that you did not have before. And more specifically, as the temple of the Holy Spirit or the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, you are given insight into the Word of God that you did not have before. Okay? Now, I cannot express to the believer enough in the importance of Scripture. But it has to be the believer. A lost person will never fully understand the Scripture apart from, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." That's the message they get. You often hear people make the comment, I just don't understand. There has to be a reason you don't understand. Now, understand this. I'm not saying that when you're saved, boom, the whole Bible opens up and you get it all. No. Right? I am saying that when you're saved, the Holy Spirit indwells, or you are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and you have a special God-given gift to understand Scripture. Now, there are levels of Scripture. There's milk and there's meat. Right? If you are a new believer, you don't jump off into the book of Revelation and say, "Oh, I've got it all figured out." Right? As a matter of fact, as an old believer, when I jump into the book of Revelation, I have more questions than answers. Right? But what I'm wanting you to understand is this. I hear a lot of Christians say, "Brother Doug, I can't understand it." My question is, are you willing to put forth the effort? You have been given the Holy Spirit of God so that you can understand the Word of God. Okay? My question is, the reason that most Christians do not understand it is they spend no time in it. Right? As I said, don't get me wrong. I do not have the market cornered on understanding the Word of God. But I do know this, that the Holy Spirit of God dwells within me and guides me to the truths of the Word of God. And He'll do the same for you. You may have to start with milk and build your way up. All people do. But do not say, "Brother Doug, I cannot understand the Scripture," when you're not willing to set aside the time to spend in the Scripture as a believer. Might as well be honest and say, "Well, I'm just not willing to put forth the effort." If you're a child of God, according to John, verse 27, you have an anointing. According to John 14:26, we're told you're given the Holy Spirit that will guide us to all truth. 1 Corinthians 6:19, we're indwelled with this Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid when you get into studies like this and you see the words anointing. Just be blessed. And know you have been given something very special by God that the world does not have. The amazing thing about the Bible is you never get to the end. I've been a student of the Word for a long time. And there's always the next level. That's what makes it so wonderful. I can study about the second coming of Jesus Christ, and I never get to the end. I can read the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and every time I read it, something new jumps off the page. I can read the book of Revelation. Something new jumps off the page. I cannot tell you how many times I've read those books. But the amazing thing is the child of God is how that the Holy Spirit of God will guide you as you read and study, and it will cause these things to jump off the pages I've never noticed before. And every time you do that, you go a little bit deeper, and a little bit deeper, and a little bit deeper, and a little bit deeper. And I think that's one of the great problems of Christianity today. People don't want deep. We just want the pat on the back and go do the best you can religious mentality. Let me encourage you as believers, don't settle for shallow. Don't settle for, 10 minutes of Bible time a week. Get in the Word and dig. God has given you a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, an anointing, so that I believe that every individual believer can have insight into the Word of God. And you will never, ever get it all. Finally, verses 28 and 29, and I'll close. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Why is it so important to remain faithful and to abide and to dedicate ourselves to things like the Word of God and seeking the truth and holding on to the truth? Why is that so important? Because Jesus is coming again. And when He comes, wouldn't it be great to say, great to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Isn't that what you want to hear? I'll be honest with you. I would love to be able to say the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, who said, "I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. I have done what God put me on this earth to do." Wouldn't it be nice to, wouldn't it be awesome that at the return of Jesus, when we're standing with Jesus, we're able to say, "I've done, Jesus, what You call me to do." Sometimes I'm afraid I won't be able to make that statement. I'll say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I coulda, shoulda, woulda." Jesus is coming back. Until He gets back, let us be faithful. And by faithful, I mean more than just coming to church. I mean faithful students of the Word. Faithful men and ladies of prayer. Faithful in our desire for and our pursuit of knowing God. Let's grow. I'm thoroughly convinced that as Christians, growing is up to us. Your choice, it's my choice. How much I grow is up to me. It depends on how much effort I want to put into study, prayer, and learning and knowing God. You may be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. We want to give you the opportunity to be saved. Jesus has called you to salvation. You know right here, right now, we go back to the first of the message. You know right here, right now, whether you have experienced the salvation of Jesus Christ. Can you go back to that time? If not, listen, you don't have to hope so. You don't have to. You can take care of it tonight. This invitation is for you. Will you come as Jesus has given you the opportunity? Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation, I pray that You will convict of sin. I pray that, Lord, Your will be done, that You will give the heart to those whom You've convicted to come to You for salvation. Lord, I pray that Your will be done. That, Lord, give us the strength and the desire and the passion to abide in You. To abide in what You've given. Father, move freely among us. We pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray.